We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
We want to start off today by saying thank you to all of our military personnel. Thank you for all of our current personnel, our veterans. Thank you for the policemen that serve us. We want to thank you especially for those who've been deployed, those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. I know that this is a holiday weekend, but it did not come without a price. There was somebody who paid a very high price for you and I to be able to celebrate the freedom. And over the past several weeks, there's been, you know, people dancing on flags and, you know, making a mockery and, you know, coming out against people who've paid a very high price for our freedom. And I want you to know you won't hear that from me. I salute you. I thank God for you. And I pray that God blesses you and orders your steps. So happy Memorial Day to all of our servicemen and women and their families. So today I want to take you to the book of Acts, chapter 10. We also want to thank everybody who came out for church on Sunday. Thanks to my daughter-in-law for leading worship. It's always good to have all of my family in our church. She actually is part of the worship team at another church here in the area. And so we don't see them every Sunday, but we do see them quite a bit, and we're really thankful for what God has done in our family. And let's get into the Word today, shall we? We're going to go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So let's look at the first part of chapter 10 here. This is what I call a Memorial Day Pentecost. Yesterday was Pentecost Sunday, as well as Memorial Day weekend. And this passage ties both of those events into a storyline. I know Memorial Day is not found in the scriptures, but Pentecost is. Pentecost was the 50 days after Passover. It was when the first fruits of harvest were coming in. And here in chapter 10, verse number 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. And I want you to know that today you are not just a resident of Brevard County. As far as God is concerned, you are a certain resident of Brevard County. You are a specific individual that he knows by name and knows every detail of your life. He knew you when he formed you in your mother's womb. He knows the steps he's ordered of you. He knows when you were born. He knows your height, your hair color, the number of hairs on your head. He knows how much time you have left. He's picked out the times and the places for you to live. He knows every detail about you. He knows the perfect job for you. He knows the perfect spouse for you. He is so wonderfully in love with you that he knows every detail. And yet society would tell you that you're just a number. You're just a cosmic accident that swam out of a swamp or fell out of a tree. You really have no significance. There's nothing that distinguishes you from anything else in all creation. And I want you to know that there is. You see, it may be true that we have similar compositions, but there's one thing that God did for man that he never did for the animals, and that was he breathed into man the breath of life. He imparted his spirit to us. You are not just a body and a soul. You are body, soul, and spirit. And today I want you to know that God has his eye on you. Everything that you have going on in your life, he knows what it is. And it's not just if you are in a certain clique or not. Cornelius was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And up until this time, God had pretty much moved exclusively among the Jewish people. It wasn't always just Jewish people, but for the most part it had. And at this point in time, in Acts chapter 10, God is getting ready to blow the doors off of prejudice. He's getting ready to throw open the gates to everyone to come into the kingdom. And it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now, men, I want to talk to you right now. We are blessed to have a number of military personnel in our family. We have a heart for the military. We are part of a project known as the Warrior's Bible, because military personnel, deployed personnel, face an array of situations, circumstances, and challenges that the rest of us don't necessarily know about. And so we have this Warrior Bible project that we have partnered with and funded with, and they are written by military personnel for families and military personnel, how to handle deployment. And I just want to encourage you, if you are a military person or the family of a military person, please do not battle those issues alone. Even, you know, a lot of times the military comes in and they says, okay, you are being transferred over here. And you start packing up and you ship off to your new duty station. And when you get there, you don't know anybody. You just have a report date and all of that sort of stuff. Or, you know, your loved one gets deployed and there you are all left all alone. If we can help you, if that's a situation that you're in, if we can help you, please contact us. We actually have people in our church that are stationed on Patrick Air Force Base, retired military personnel, people who are actively serving, although their military career has come to an end, they're actively serving at Patrick Air Force Base and live on the base. If you have needs in your life, contact us at 454-4263. We would love to partner with you in this journey. Now let me tell to the men just a moment that may be serving. And I want you to know that it is not men of weakness that come to Jesus. Jesus was a man's man. If you don't believe me, I tell you what, you go out and have somebody beat you with a whip and keep you up all night and deprive you of food and cause blood to come out of you. And then they throw this heavy wooden beam across your shoulders and have you walk to the place where you're going to be crucified. And by the way, not just the physical burden, but the spiritual burden of the sin of the entire world resting on your shoulders. And then I want to ask you if you still think that Jesus was a wimpy man. Because I don't believe he was. I believe he was a man's man. He was a carpenter. He was the son of a carpenter. He hung around with fishermen. It was true. He was a teacher. By the way, just because you are able to do all of those other things doesn't mean that you should not strengthen your spiritual muscle and your intellectual muscle. Don't just be a big lump of muscle. Instead, allow yourself to become a man who knows the Word of God, who is able to think and handle the Word of God as a faithful servant. Again, Paul was a tent maker. These are not easy jobs. They are challenging careers, and it calls for a man. It calls for men who believe in God, who want to function in the strength of God, and know that the biggest challenge in life is not living as a sinner. The biggest challenge in life is living as a man of God. So, guys, I want to call you out today. I don't want to call you into a life where your masculinity is laid down. I want to call you out to where your masculinity is under the command of Jesus Christ, and He uses you and the skill sets that He has equipped you with to take the gospel to the kingdom or to the nations of the world. Allow God to use those strengths and say, wow, that's really good. I wonder what takes place if you use it under my authority. And so I just want to point that out to you, because so many times churches end up appealing to women, and women, have their own unique gift sets, and we're thankful for the women. But God calls men as well. Thank God for men. And so He called Cornelius, and that means he was a man who was a centurion. That means he was over 100 men. It also means this: he was a man under authority. A lot of times men don't like other men telling them, or don't like people telling them what to do. I want you to know that if you don't like people telling you what to do, then you can't respond negatively if people don't want to respond favorably when you tell them what to do. Jesus, when He encountered a centurion, the centurion said, "I am a man under authority. Therefore, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to this one, come, and he comes." And so you don't need to come to my house. You just need to speak the word. And I know this, that the sickness that my servant is experiencing, that he's going to be healed. And Jesus said, "I have not found such great faith in all Israel." I'm telling you guys that if we would bring that understanding of God's authority, or understanding of authority, into God's kingdom and say, man, if the military operated like that, and there were some fallen individuals in the military, can you imagine what authority looks like in the kingdom of God, where God is holy and omnipotent and omniscient, and He knows all things? So when He sends me on a mission, when He sends me on a task, He's not going to blindside me. He's not going to leave me out there alone or abandon me. I'm going to function under authority. And so when Jesus encountered that centurion, the centurion went back to his house, and his servant was healed that same hour that conversation took place. And so here we see Cornelius is a man of authority and a man under authority, and God speaks to him. Now, I happen to be of a mindset that says, if God is going to speak to me, it's worth hearing. If God's going to speak, it ought to be worth listening to. Listen to what it has to say about this man by the name of Cornelius. In verse number 2, it says he was a devout man. That means he wasn't a man that said one thing and did another. He wasn't a person that said, do as I say, not as I do. He was a person who loved God. It goes on and says, a devout man and one who feared God. He understood God. And that's why, even though he wasn't a Jew, he was crying out. There was tremendous dynamics that were taking place in the spiritual realm. The kingdom of God was growing sometimes thousands at a day. Thousands in a day, 3,000 giving their heart to Jesus in one day, 5,000 in another day. And so Cornelius had seen as a soldier the distinction and the better quality of life that Christians had as opposed to others. Now listen, Christians were not granted the same status as Jews were or polytheist, people who believed in other gods. They weren't granted the same legal protections as all of those people who worship Caesar. And yet Cornelius had seen something in someone that said, you know what? I acknowledge the sovereignty of God. And so he walked in reverential awe of God because of his attitude towards God. It impacted the way that he lived on a daily basis. Guys, I want to ask you a question right now, and that is, are we the same in private as we are in public? Do we act the same in church as we do out of church? Because I've seen I've had people that I've known throughout the years, and I could tell you which ones were living it inside the church, and I could tell you what, you know, people who were living differently outside of the church. I'm not saying that to say anything tremendous about my observation skills. I'm just telling you, you can tell. You don't deceive anybody. You don't hide it from anybody. The only one that gets deceived is yourself. And so I want to ask you, because this passage was written, the book of Acts was written by Luke, but it was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when he says that Cornelius was a devout man, he's saying that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knew the condition of his heart. So what is the condition of our lives today? Would he say, if today was the day of our last breath, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Would he say, you know what, when you make a business transaction, you do that in with an understanding that God is watching and God is their part of that transaction? Cornelius was a man who was living it out, and it says, who feared God with all his household. You know, in all the times I've preached this, this may be one of the first times I've ever focused on that. You and I, if we will walk in the reverential awe of God, people at home will notice the transformation that is taking place in us before anybody else. And I'll be honest with you. I came to this position with God a long time ago. God, you have called me to pastor. You called me to pastor as, you know, when I was just a child. I will go anywhere, do anything that you've asked me. I've been to Haiti. I've been to Guatemala. I've been from Oklahoma to Missouri to one point in time we were in Illinois. We thought we were going to Iowa, and that plan got changed. We ended up in Texas, and then we came to Florida, and not one of those decisions were ever made because of monetary. They were all in response to the call. But the one thing that I said is, God, I don't want to sacrifice my family. I don't want anyone in my family to be lost because I ignored them while trying to impact the world. You see, fame is not that important to me that if it cost me one of my kids or if it cost me my marriage. I'm not willing to make that sacrifice. A friend of mine and I, we have this conversation. It's, you know what? The price tag on that is too high. Price tag on that is too high. And so I want to challenge us that we not only have a testimony and a reputation at church, but in fact, we have a reputation at home that causes other people, our wife, our children, to want to serve God. That was one of my highest goals, because I'd seen others who had achieved great things, but they lost their family in the process. And I'm not saying, you know, following the call of God is always going to be the reason why loved ones don't walk in obedience. You know, sometimes they just make decisions. But I want Cornelius's type of reputation. And that is to be a person who walks in reverential awe of God in such a manner that it positively impacts the rest of the household. If I can just say this, And that is, there used to be a philosophy that says, never apologize. It's a sign of weakness. And one day I was watching, I've got, you know, a little bit of a fondness of watching NCIS. And there was an episode one time, and one of the characters said, never apologize. It's a sign of weakness. And I was sitting there with some people, and I said, no, actually, it's a sign of strength. And all of a sudden, somebody shook their head and looked at me, and like they said, you know, like, where in the world did you ever get that idea? I want you to know that admitting you're wrong when you're wrong, it's a sign of strength. It's a sign that you feel safe in that situation. I've been around people who the only thing that they knew was, look, we are not going to end this discussion until you admit that I am right. And I want you to know that that's not a very successful way to live. You can get people to say the words, you are right, but in their heart, they not only are saying you're wrong, but now because you've insisted that they say that you were right even when you're wrong, now they think even less of you. So, you know, I've apologized to God. I've repented to God before. I've apologized to my wife. I've apologized to all three of my children. There have been times when I've done stuff and I've apologized to my church. I've apologized to my presbyter. I've apologized to my superintendent. You see, anybody who thinks that Pastor Bob is perfect, you don't know me as well as I know me. It's just the reality. There are no perfect people. And so take stock of your household and say, God, is there something that I could do differently that would make a difference in my children's life? Because I will tell you that if you are consistently serving God, even people that you think are rejecting your message, they're still watching you, and the Holy Spirit is going to work in their life in such a manner that one day they're going to hit the end of their rope, and when they do, all they're going to have is Jesus. And at that point in time, they need somebody that they can point to and say, wait a minute, I have seen Jesus in that person there. I know that that works because I had a person in my life that we were visiting them one time. They had just had a new house, and I happened to be out there. And as I came into the house, I started talking about something, and this person stopped me and said, whoa, wait a minute, stop. This is my house, and I don't want you to talk about God, and I don't want you to talk about church in my house. I said, okay. So we didn't. But later, that person's world imploded. Financially, relationally, all sorts of horrible, devastating things took place, and it rocked this person to the core. And they said, after they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they said, the reason that I accepted Jesus was because all those years where I was hostile to you, I was watching you, and I watched you live out your faith. I watched you live it out when you weren't even getting paid to live out your faith. I watched you believe God for whatever circumstance. And folks, I want you to know that right now, there are people who are watching you. There are people who are listening to you. They may not be saying anything, but they're watching you. You know, we have the ability to remember some of the bad things that happen a lot more than we do the good things. And like I said, I'm not a perfect individual, but several years ago, I was told, and this goes back decades, and somebody said, you know, there were people that used to watch you that you never even met. And when somebody says something like that, my daughter posted something for my birthday. And she said, I'm going to post a video for your birthday. And it's like, oh, that's a scary thought. But when somebody tells you that they were watching you and you don't know who that person is, that's an intimidating thought. About a year ago, not quite a year ago, but about a year ago, my daughter had bought a car. We came back really bad storm, and we were in Walmart here on Merritt Island, and a lady kept poking her head and looking around the corner, and it caught my attention. I mean, she was carrying a huge bag of dog food, and so it was like, okay, does she need a cart? You know, is she looking for somebody to bring her a shopping cart, whatever? And our conversation kept meandering down the aisle as my wife was shopping. And finally, this lady came up and said, would you mind if I ask you a strange question? And I said, well, no, I don't think it's a strange question. And yes, you can ask me. And she said, are you Pastor Bob from the radio? And I said, yes. And she said, I knew that was your voice. I listened to you on the radio. And it really is encouraging whenever somebody comes up and says, hey, I listen to your program, and so I want to thank you for listening. But I will be honest with you, there was something else that took place in that store that day, and that was this thought. God, I just want to thank you that, when somebody recognized my voice in a public place and they were watching me and I didn't know that they knew me, I want to thank you that I wasn't doing something that was an embarrassment to your kingdom. So I want to encourage you today that as we look in Acts chapter 10 this week, guys, you don't have to sacrifice your masculinity. Jesus gave you that gift. He gave you that strength. He gave you those abilities for you to use them for his glory. But I also want to say, God, I want to be a man who is devout, who walks in reverence to you in a manner that's going to impact my household. Can we do that? Whether you're a man or a woman, let's walk in integrity. Can we do that? Father, I want to thank you for this Monday. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for men and women in this community, God, who are living out what they believe on a regular basis. Father, I pray right now for mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, children, sisters, brothers. God, anybody who may not be walking in faith with you, God, I pray, Lord, that they would see Jesus prominently displayed in us, not just when we're at church, but Lord, wherever we're at, may they see us living out the Word of God in Jesus' name. We want to thank you for listening today. We're praying that you have a great week and you accomplish great and mighty things for the King of Kings. You have a great day. We will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless.